Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, our second show today on August 16th, 2022. And this show today, look forward to, good friends, from NAESP, the National Association of Elementary School Principals. We've got Dr. Kaylin Tucker, old friend, Dave Griffith, old friend, who's going to come talk to us both about what principals are facing, particularly elementary and middle school principals, but you can extrapolate that out. Okay, they're facing as we head back to school. And actually, as you know, many school districts are already back, and it's a pretty crazy year, I got to tell you. All right, and we'll talk about what they're hearing and what they're doing from NAESP, one of the better organizations out there serving pre-K-12. We're going to archive the show over at our home website, which is our home website is for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And we got a lot of stuff going on over there. It's all linked. You'll see it with all the icons. Teacherretention.com, seltoday.org. Okay. All our podcasts are there. Our brand new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, pre-K-12, brand new back to school issue. You might want to click on the cover, read through it. It's pretty nice, and some good friends advertising in there as well. Okay, some good products and resources for you. And we've extended our Excellence in Equity Awards program. Okay, we had a last-minute rush when we thought we were going to close down nominations, and it got pretty nuts, so we figured, well, there must be some people who still haven't heard about it. So made sure that we could accommodate everybody. So please go over to the awards icon, nominate yourself, your school, your colleagues, companies you work with. Companies can nominate in there, products, etc. Check it all out. It's at ace-ed.org. And now it is my pleasure to bring you Dr. Kaylin Tucker and David Griffith from NAESP. Good morning, Kaylin. Welcome back. You too, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back on the show.
Thank you, Kaylin. Where are you calling
from? Good
morning,
Larry.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I'm excellent.
Where am I calling in from?
Wait a minute. I want to find out. Yes, Kaylin, first, where are you calling in from today?
Oh, I'm calling in from Austin, Texas.
And how's the heat down there today?
Oh, dear. It'll be back up to 100. Super hot.
Stay cool. You're cool. Stay cool. David, where are you? In Maryland?
I usually am, but I am in Athens, Georgia today, dropping my son off at college. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little emotional.
Wow. I'm sorry to bother you on such an important day, for goodness sakes. Is he a freshman?
He is.
He's a young bulldog. At UGA? Is that UGA in Athens?
Yep, UGA.
That's huge. He's going down there from Maryland?
Yep.
Woo, big doings, man. Big doings. Have you dropped him already? Is he in his dorm now?
Well, we're in the recovery phase. He's been dropped off. He's been moved in. He's been settled in. And we are headed back to Maryland here today. So we're all good. So this is a good
That's
thing.
Good. And I'm curious if you've gotten the hot tub yet to put into his room at home. Have you changed?
not yet. I'm going to leave that up to him.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, good. I wish him well. That's cool. That's really fun. Okay. That's really fun.
Yeah,
I hope it's a good time.
Thank you.
Okay. This is great. Well, that's a good segue. It's back to school time, everybody. The district's by Georgia. I was just talking to Mark Feuerbacher down at Cartersville, Georgia yesterday, good friend of ours. Okay. I told him yesterday afternoon they're back in school. That's where Trevor Lawrence, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback went. Mark's a great guy. Okay. He's a superintendent down there in Cartersville, which is a cool town. And, there's all kinds of stuff going on. They're back to school. I know a lot of schools in the South, the Northeast, going to go back around Labor Day, et cetera. And, Kaylin, I'm going to start with you. You know, we need good leaders, okay? And we need leaders especially now because, principals are really important, and we need strong continuing leadership, okay? And now it's back to school, and What are you finding? Okay, you're NAESP, NAESP.org, elementary school, which includes middle school. Okay, principals, what's going on out there? Caitlin, what's the word?
Well, I like how you worked in the title of our latest research series into that segue there, the Leaders We Meet Now research series that we, good job, worked on and published earlier in the year. And so we were really just forecasting what schools were going to be like and then also what principals we're going to need. And we're finding a lot of that is true. So one of the main findings was that there's a layering effect of their responsibilities around communications, especially around crisis management, that they really don't have the background in. And so they're really working to make sure that they have we're working to make sure they have the support they need to fill that void.
Caitlin, I'm going to ask you, you just said the key word crisis, crisis management. And the first thing that came to my mind when you said that, which you may or may not have meant, was the horror of Uvalde, okay, where the shooting took place. All right, and there were some other ones last year. Is that what you meant by crisis management, or were you referring to other things? And I know that's one of the things that's top of mind.
I was really thinking broader crisis in terms of the fires that come up every day, but certainly the school shooting that was, rocked the nation.
Yeah.
Horrible. On their top of mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. And, you just brought up something else again, the fires that come up every day. And by the way, Dave, I want you to join in anytime you want, but I'm curious, what are the fires? Maybe last Dave, maybe he's the expert on this too. Dave, what are the fires that come up every day that are crisis management? Dave?
Well, I mean, I think we've learned over the past couple of years to expect the unexpected. When you're dealing with young children, it can be anything. And it can be certainly, that diminishes. It can certainly be something as serious as Uvalde, but, for children and their families, a crisis can be something, much more personal and individual to them. But, I think, just one of the highlights of the past couple of years, both with the COVID and sort of highlight to the public is we just got to expect the unexpected when it comes to our schools. And look, what Caitlin was saying is our principals are well positioned, and they are, battle tested and veteran now, and being able to be responsive to the needs of their students and their staff and their communities. And so I think, as you talk about going back to school, I think one of the things we want to emphasize to people is that your children, your students are in good care.
They really are.
Yeah, with the educators you've entrusted with them.
Yeah, you just said something that struck me. School used to be when I was a kid and when you were a kid. And when Caitlin was a kid, a level and simple path, okay, for people to run, okay? And now you have to say, we have to be trained to expect the unexpected, okay? And the unexpected, when we were all kids, didn't happen, okay? And now it does, all right? We got to be really careful about that. I mean, occasionally it did. I certainly, certainly no storms and all that sort of thing. But you really have to be. So, Caitlin, let me ask you, how do you train someone these days to handle all that? You talk about leaders we need now. And as school starts, okay, talk about what NAESP is doing to help principals and wannabe principals. That's a key factor, too. Caitlin.
Well, we're just coming off of the summer, and summer for a lot of folks is vacations, but for principals and other educators, it's vacation and also professional development time.
Yeah.
So we had our annual conference this year in Louisville in person. So we were all excited to be able to have another in-person event. And one of the pieces that really stuck out to me that was a constant refrain is the importance of a professional network. Whether you get that through your district or through your, NAESP, your professional organization, but really developing those relationships so that you have someone to call when the unexpected happens, that you have a sounding board when you're making tough decisions. So that's one of the main ways is through that networking. And then also we always talk about the need for job-embedded professional development through mentoring and things like that. That's where I would start and love to hear David's perspective on that too. And you didn't mention that David's new to the NAESP team.
How old are you, David?
Yes. I'm sorry?
How old are you? How old are you? How new are you?
I'm a week into the job.
Wait a minute, is this the first time you and I have met? Is this the first time you and I have met?
This is the first time I've been on the show. Yeah.
I'll be damned.
I apologize
for that, kind sir. So I'm going to say now for the time on next time, welcome to the show. Thank you for bringing that up, Kaylin. I thought David was on before.
We
Dave,
just threw him in here.
Whoa, where'd you come from, David? From heaven?
I was over at ASCD, so I'm well-versed in working with school leaders, particularly principals.
Wow. Welcome, my friend. That's great. You come with a good organization, by the way. I apologize for that. I thought you had been on before. I apologize for that.
No. First time.
Wow.
Trial by fire.
We'll see if you get your knighthood.
So they just throw you right in there. Baptism by fire. That's right.
Boy, they really did. So first of all, let me ask you the easy stuff. Spell chrysanthemum. That's a joke. I want you to be nervous. Okay. This is the first of many visits. For goodness sakes, Dave, I really apologize for that. I feel bad about that. Okay. And let me ask you this. And Kaylin, thank you for telling me that. So let me ask you this. Okay. Coming in new, this is interesting, to an organization like NAESP, okay, and looking at principals, okay, and what they need now, what comes to your mind, okay, as you look at the situation these days? What do principals need these days?
I think,
like you're on a job interview. You're not. You already got the job. You can answer any way you want.
That's right. So I think it's two things. I'll say the easy part first, which is I think they need our respect and admiration for the work that they're doing, and that they've held their schools together through an unprecedented time and a crisis like we've almost never seen, and was hopefully coming out through the other side. That's, I think, the larger issue that I think gets lost in all this. They have been supporting their students, they have been supporting their staff, and they have been leading through this entire situation over the past now, 2+ years. And I think going back to what Kaylin was saying, and I think this is related to this, which is, in terms of what they need as the school year begins, it is what they are very focused. Elementary school principals are very focused on supporting their students and making sure that, the students have what they need. And particularly, as we've seen an increase in appreciation and need for social emotional learning, mental and emotional well-being, and also for their staff to understand that, their staff, the teachers and the support staff are also going through some very difficult times and experiencing burnout and their own stresses and being mindful of that and the need to support them in any way they can. And then, again, a layer on top of that is the leader themselves needs to take care of themselves, that they are so busy supporting the students and the staff that oftentimes they forget about their own physical and mental well-being and health, and they need to take care of that as well. So it's really like a threefold process or layer of needs there.
Wow. Where do you start, Dave?
Well, Well, I'll start with the students, and you want to, you know, again, make sure that they have what they need. But you also, it's really important to both model and exhibit both what you're trying to provide and what you're trying to expect. So, you know, taking time to take care of yourself, taking time to check in with your staff, and making sure that, you know, they have you know, what they need, both in terms of instructional support, but also the sort of that emotional, social, emotional piece, and being mindful and being encouraging the staff to also model this to students as well. That, you know, you tell your students, I'm not having a great day, or, you know, so they understand it's okay to have these feelings, and you'll get through them.
Yeah, and it's hard this year, which brings me up the other question. Okay, COVID this year, and I saw that the FCC. I can't think of what it is.
CDC.
Thank you. Couldn't think of the right initials, for goodness sakes. Okay, CDC dropped the mask mandate. How's COVID going to impact things this year? I'll ask you again,
so
Dave. You're in the spot. Go ahead. Go do it.
Sure. So hopefully...
Mr. Bulldog down in Florida, down in Georgia.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, it recedes to the background. It is something we'll obviously be very mindful of and aware of, but not top of mind like it has been the past 2 years. So, you know, again, you know, being mindful of large gatherings, of being indoor spaces, of your ventilation, being mindful of community outbreaks and what the situation is in the neighborhood around the school and the state. You know, the one thing I think we're really concerned about is the start of school. You know, you mentioned that, you know, southern
yeah.
states are going back to school already. So this is the first large indoor gathering of, you know, large collection of students, you know, since the spring. And, you know, I think one of the concerns is, like, you know, it's sort of an immediate outbreak, or, you know, some staff come down with COVID, and, you know, with the teacher shortage, you're seeing that there might not be that coverage in all the classrooms, and there'll be some scrambling for the time being as we sort of get through the, you know, work out the kinks over the first couple weeks. So hopefully we get past that, and it's just something, again, it's just something we're just have to kind of monitor, but not sort of run our lives like, you know, it has in the past. And, you know, but having said that, you know, last year, you know, we thought we were coming back to a sense of normalcy and regularness, and then Delta reared its head, you know, right about the beginning of the school year.
Right.
And, you know, I think about last August or September, no one had even heard of an Omicron variant.
That's
so,
right.
You know, again,
right. You never
the
know.
Best laid plans, we can,
crisis
we can
management,
hope
expect
and
the unexpected. That should be the theme of the next conference. You expect the unexpected. Okay? It's just amazing. And now, Dave, that I found that you're so new to this, I just looked up on the website. You went to Villanova, right?
I did, yep.
Okay,
yep.
That's very close to where I used to live. I grew up right by Villanova. Okay?
On the main line.
Do you know the Anthony Wayne Theater in Wayne, Pennsylvania? Did you ever go there and watch a movie?
Sure, yes.
My dad used to be the manager. When I was a kid, my dad was the manager of that theater.
Oh, my gosh. So
you
go. Conestoga High School?
Yeah. Oh, my God, Conestoga. I forgot about that. Wow. No, I went to Overbrook. I lived in Philly, right on City Line Avenue. Okay?
Okay.
So we were right down Lancaster Pike, for about 6 miles from you. Okay, V for Villanova. And boy, has it changed. It's just gigantic now. I went to Westchester, which was your good rival in football for a long time. Okay?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
In Westchester?
I remember over the years it was Westchester State Teachers College, then
Westchester State College, then Westchester
University. That's right.
I was there when it was Westchester State College. Okay, which shows my age. All right, and there you go, pal. All right, there you go. Think of me when you're having a steak sandwich. All right, there you go. I know. Sorry, Kaylin, a little bit reminiscing as I was going through this. Okay, sorry, Kaylin.
I'm from Houston, by the way.
From where?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Nobody cares,
Houston.
Kaylin. That doesn't matter. Philadelphia, that doesn't matter. Okay, all we care about is your favorite steak sandwich joint. Okay, that's all we care about. Okay. Okay. Dave, on Route 1, there was Jimmy John's Knockwurst. Did you ever go there when you were a kid?
On Route 1?
Route 1
no,
from Westchester
that.
Heading down towards Delaware. Jimmy John's.
Yes. Okay, that
yeah,
one.
Exactly. Exactly. So there you go, my friend. All right. See, I know the stuff. All right, back to education. Okay, I got to ask. I'm going to go to Kaylin on this one. Kaylin, staffing shortage.
Yes.
Okay. My nephew is the elementary school principal in Haverhill, Massachusetts, and he was with his family on vacation last week in Wyoming, but half the time he was on the phone trying to find four teachers or five teachers, whatever it was. Okay, principal of an elementary school. Staffing stuff this year. What are you hearing from Houston?
Yeah,
from Houston.
I'm hearing.
Home of the Texans. Home of the Houston,
from Houston.
Texans. Yeah.
Yes, and barbecue. yeah, it's the same. We're experiencing the same, and it really is a worry for a big percentage of our schools. I'm hearing from my principals that they're starting the school year for some of them for the first time without being fully staffed up, especially in special education. That's an area of big concern. And in a lot of areas, it's not necessarily that they don't have applicants, it's that they're not in the right category or they're not certified for a certain grade or specialty. So, but the result is the same, is that they've got classes that they're going to be without a full-time regular teacher when they start school in the fall.
What do you see coming down the pike on that? I mean, we're really concerned about this. We started a website specifically about it called teacher-retention.com. We're working on building that all the time. And, I mean, it's tough out there. And I honestly believe that, you know, we can't lose any teachers, okay, nor I might add any principals, okay? Because obviously if somebody was up to be a principal, we're going to need a teacher, okay? And we just can't lose anybody, all right? And it's that simple. So what do you see coming down the line here? Caleb, Dr. Tucker.
Well, Dr. Tucker says always eat barbecue. But aside from the barbecue, but that's for real, though, is really – I echo what David was saying earlier about the respect and the honoring and the valuing that we need for the profession, and that extends to teachers foremost. You know, folks who go into teaching don't do it for the money or anything like that. I mean, they'd be crazy to do that, but they go into it because it's a calling, and they're really dedicated to the craft and to the outcome of the craft, which is a educated nation of citizens. But they need the basics. And so I know a lot of my principals are saying that they've been focusing a lot more on how they can support teachers in different ways in terms of their mental and social and emotional health.
Yeah, SEL again.
Really thinking
wow.
about different
wow.
ways to support
wow.
them during this time.
I think that's important.
You both brought up SEL, okay? Which is,
yeah,
which,
that's right.
When I asked two different questions, you both brought up SEL, okay? The social emotional side, okay, of everything we do, both for the kids and the professors. Dave, what were you going to say a second ago?
I was going to add on to what Kaylin was saying is about the issue about the sort of the spot shortages on certain subjects or grades, what have you. What she was saying is like we've got to change this mindset, which is, look, we've had shortages in the past. You know, we've had shortages with math and science teachers, with special education teachers. We've had shortages in specific geographic areas. But now it's just so much more. And the other part, and Larry, I think you were alluding to it, which is, you know, keeping teachers in the profession. Business as usual has been accepting a 50% attrition rate for new teachers in the first 5 years.
And so, terrible.
You know, we have enough teachers, but we just lose them. And, you know, what Kaylin was saying about the social emotional learning piece, which is
we've got to do a much better job of teachers. Wait, we had enough teachers. We can't accept that attrition rate anymore. because there's not enough teachers in the pipeline. We used to have enough.
That's true.
Okay, so yeah, the nutrition rate's 50%. You know, well, we'll get them next year. There ain't no next year. The cohorts are tiny. Okay, it's a disaster.
Yeah, and that sink or swim mentality is just it's just a bygone era. We've got to do a better job of properly orienting and mentoring and supporting these teachers so that they stay in the profession, want to stay in the profession. And then I also think too, the other part though is being, you know, what Kaylin was saying earlier about being respectful of the veteran teachers and the experience and the wisdom they bring to the role and what they can offer both the students and the school staff and community as well, and to value that is just as important. So it's really both. It's keeping the teachers we have and also trying to bolster that pipeline and plugging those leaks.
That's exactly right. And what about, I'll throw this back to Kaylin, the principal pipeline. Okay? How are we doing on that, Kaylin? Principal pipeline.
Not too good, Larry. We're not doing too good on that. But that's one of the big points we're going to be drilling down on in October for National Principals Month is strategies and policies from the federal, state, and district levels that we've got to bolster the principal pipeline. And I tell you that one of the groups that I'm following is the principals who started the job in the last couple of years, those folks who, started their principalship in 2020, new principals coming into the pandemic leadership. I call them the pandemic principals, and seeing how they, how they fare over the next couple of years. So, yeah, super important for us to figure this out. And one of the ways I know that we've been talking about a lot is loan forgiveness for educators and then also specifically for principals. So that's just one small way to get it done.
Oh, that's a big way. That's a big way. Hold on. Pardon me for coughing. I'm curious, as you look, we look at principals as a person, okay, leading the school. And this just dawned on me as we were talking. But there's a principal pipeline challenge, and there's also a teacher staffing challenge. Has anybody thought of, and maybe they are doing this, what you guys do, you help school leaders, okay? If there's a principal challenge, is anybody looking at creating a principalship of a committee of experienced teachers to run the school? It's a paradigm shift, and I'm not necessarily advocating it. But these are tough, crazy times, And if we can get the five best teachers to run the school, if God forbid the principal leaves, okay, and that's the way the school is run, does that solve a problem? It builds respect, as David said, and it brings experienced people to the leadership position. And that's really what you're concerned about, okay? You're actually, you're NAESP, but you're really the National Association of Elementary School Leaders. Okay, and I know that's out of the clear blue sky. Dr. Tucker from Houston, what do you think?
Well, I think it's not so far off from the idea of distributed leadership. And that was one of the findings from our Leaders We Meet Now research series is that we've got to do distributed leadership differently. And that gets at what you were talking about in terms of that we really are looking at leaders with an S that are responsible for the school, and that we're not as focused on the hierarchy and the title, but that the school principal is one of a number who has a leadership team. And so that actually is one of the things that we're looking at and investigating and that principals have talked about is that we need to do this leadership team thing differently. So in terms of how we have the principal and assistant principal, what are the roles of the assistant principal? We don't really have standards in the same way that we have for principal. So it really depends upon the school and the district, how that role gets utilized. But thinking differently about the assistant principal role, thinking differently about teacher leaders and how they are a part of actually the principal pipeline. You're exactly right that if we have a principal pipeline problem, then we also have a, you know, that gets drawn into the principal pipeline problem.
Yeah.
If we solve one, maybe we can solve two.
Exactly. I mean, you're a leadership organization. You really are. On that note, Dave, I know you're new over there. Now I know you're new. And is there any thought of you and Kaylin joining together and having a coup and overthrowing Earl? Is there any talk about that?
No.
Just curious.
No. Earl exhibits great distributed leadership and it gives everyone, you know, plenty of opportunity. I think, you know, it is interesting when you talked about that committee. I mean, I think it highlighted two things. One, the all-encompassing role of the school, of the principalship, and how, you know, you're the instructional leader, you're the, the managerial leader, you're the business leader, you know, you're in charge of all these different things. I really do think it highlights that. It gets lost in sometimes that it's just how the scope and scale of the job is really awe-inspiring sometimes.
Yeah.
But the other part, too, is you know, I think you're onto something, and Kaylin touched on it, too, is, you know, giving these teachers an opportunity for leadership roles to take on greater responsibility.
Goes back to what you said.
And
lighten
up load.
For the profession.
And,
yeah, goes back to what you said.
And right, advancing your, you know, sort of expanding your professional skills and giving you, greater opportunities. Yeah, I think those are all things of a piece. And I would say too, I doubling back a little bit, you know, the educator shortage obviously is top of mind. It's drawing national attention.
Yeah.
But from what we're hearing from a lot of principals is there's a lag, but the principal shortage is coming. And I've talked to a lot of principals saying, yeah, this is, I'm not sure I'm going to be here in, you know, X number of years.
That's
or,
right.
You know, so we'll see. So we want to get out ahead of that shortage, so we're not, you know, putting out fires like we are right now with the educator shortage. So we want to build
now
so that we're ready in 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah, and, you know, it really is. And COVID did this. For the horror of COVID, I don't mean to minimize that in the slightest. But it forces you to that kind of crisis we were talking about at the beginning of the show forces you to think differently. Okay. And there's suddenly, you know, nobody thought schools would be, oh, we're going to close down all the schools. We're still going to educate kids. Yet we did it best we could with no notice. All right. And it's a paradigm shift. Okay. And we have to recognize that things have changed. All right. There are less teachers. There are less principals. How do we make this work with what we got? Okay. And as I said, NAESP and under Earl, I mean, you guys are leaders in this and thought leaders in this. And I might add beyond thought leaders, action leaders. You actually get stuff done. Okay. And I think things are going to be changing, I think, well, for a long period of time. Okay. This is good stuff. Kaylin, thank you. Okay. This has been, I want to ask you, Kaylin, before we go. Okay. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask one more question. You there, Kaylin?
I'm here.
Okay. You have a national task force. This is important to us, and I meant to ask this earlier, and I forgot, on equity and race, okay, which brings up a lot of questions, okay? And the question is, are we getting enough leaders, okay, that match the students and that culturally match the community is maybe a better way to say that. How are we doing on that?
Well, that's one of our areas for growth, I'll say, is getting more diverse principals in the pipeline. But I think we're moving in the right direction, and that's one of the, you know, just one of the areas that we're focusing on with our task force. You know, when we first started it up, I think we came on the show and Earl and I talked about the task force, and boy, they've been busy. And really what they do is, as a group, advise on what are the areas of principal leadership that we need to bolster in terms of equity, because there's a lot of standards around equity. So we know what the what is, But what we, but what principals struggle with is the how, and so that's what we're working on with the task force.
We got to do it, and you know, I keep saying this. What are the challenges we have of getting Black and Latino people into education? Is that a lot of the schools, they don't have a good time in school. Okay, school's tough for a lot of these people. Okay, and when it's tough, it's not someplace you want to go back to and spend your professional life. And we have to really look at making districts fully understand exactly what their student body looks like and engage that student body, okay, at a level they can understand that's culturally relevant to them. And if we do that, they're going to more and more come back. They're going to want to stay in the profession, stay where they feel comfortable, as opposed to a place they don't feel comfortable. You know, there's a, if you look at discipline just towards Black males in school, it's way out of sight percentage-wise. All right? And that's if you're treated like that, you're not going to go into the profession. You want to get out of school, not stay in. Okay? So we got to make real changes here, and I think, you know, this is what it's all about. We got to just get the school population is changing. And so does our leadership, and so does our teachers. Right, David?
That's right. That's right. It's evolving, and we've got to stay current with the times.
Yeah, you do. I tell you, and by the way, you have to agree with me because I'm the coach, the host of the show. I can talk to the microphone. Okay. So anyway, hey, you guys are terrific. Dave, you heading back today? Are you driving today or flying?
We are driving back today. No, we're driving. We had too much stuff to bring down to fly. We're driving back 10 hours.
Okay. And don't forget to buy the exercise bike and the hot tub for his room. Okay. As soon as you get back. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lazy boy. You want to get a lazy boy in there too.
That's
okay. Yeah. Don't hesitate. He's not welcome back. Just stay down there for the summer, dude. Okay. That's all there is to it. Hey, I wish him good luck.
Want him to go to class. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember taking my guys to college. It is fun. And I remember my wife crying. Okay. So I hope yours is doing fine. All right. And Kaylin, thank you from Houston. Now Austin. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay.
See you next
and
time.
And ask David. He'll get you one of the good knockwurst and cheesesteaks if you ever get up to Philly. Okay. Even though he's in Maryland now.
Will do.
Okay.
That's
trust
me.
Thanks, guys.
That's right.
Thank you both. Okay.
Thank you.
This is terrific. I really enjoyed it. Hope you did too. And we're going to do more. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. That was great. Okay. Thanks. And AESP.org. They're a good organization. And Earl Franks runs it. Great. Okay. Got good people with them too. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. We're on the same track they are. I hope you're on the same track as we are. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out ace-ed.org and all the stuff we do over there. Thanks for listening.